In 1978, a man traveled to Cincinnati to attend the funeral of Max Ellerbusch. Max has been like a father to this man for 20 years. Nothing unusual except that as a 15-year-old, this man has taken his mother's car and struck and killed Max's 5-year-old son. This was a week before Christmas in 1958. Soon after the accident, a surprise court heard Max ask that charges be dropped. Instead, he wanted to give the death car driver a job and help toward his education. Max did all that and more, virtually adopting the 15-year-old boy into his family. Max shared his home, time, and understanding with the troubled youth. We might wonder, how could Max do that? I could never befriend a wild teenager who had just killed my 5-year-old son. Max must have been a little crazy to go out of his way that much to become like a father for that boy. But if Max Ellerbusch was a little crazy, so is God. Our first responsorial psalm and gospel readings talk about the Lord's vineyard. In the first reading, Prophet Isaiah pointed out the generosity of God towards his chosen people Israel. God was with them as they wandered in the desert until they reached the promised land of milk and honey. But the Lord asks, in our first reading, what more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? God guided and gave them manna, food, honey, and water, but they still complained and not satisfied. The Lord even said, he expected justice, but saw bloodshed. Righteousness, but heard the cry. In today's gospel, the parable describes God as a landowner who already and arranged an awesome and beautiful vineyard and offered it to his people to watch, manage, and make it fruitful. However, his people wanted not just their share of the harvest, but the whole thing. They even abused, killed the prophets God sent to help them. Finally, in a desperate attempt to save his vineyard and his people, God sent his own son, hoping they would respect and honor him. Nonetheless, they abused and killed him too in an effort to seize his inheritance. What a silly story, we might say. No landowner in his right mind would risk sending his own son among rebels who had already murdered his messengers. How crazy can you get? Who can believe in a God so damned? But that is precisely the point of the parable. Where we would cry for vengeance on the tenants, God chose an alternative, the alternative of unconditional love. Max adopted the 15-year-old boy who killed his 5-year-old son because for him, love is unconditional. Let us look at the life of Saint Francis of Assisi, the feast we are celebrating also today, October 4th. We heard the voice of the Lord to build his church, taking the risks of rejection, and even called him a fool, a madman, and stupid during his time. Francis' conversion did not happen overnight. God had waited for him for 25 years, and now it was Francis' turn to wait. Francis started to spend more time in prayer. He went off to a cave and wept for her sins. One day, while riding through the countryside, Francis, the man who loved beauty, who was so picky about food, who hated deformity, came face to face with a leper. Repelled by the appearance and the smell of the leper, Francis nevertheless jumped down his horse and kissed the hand of the leper. When his kiss of peace was returned, Francis was filled with joy. As he rode off, he turned around for a last wave and saw that the leper had disappeared. He always looked upon it as a test from God that he had passed. His search for conversion led him to the ancient church at San Damiano. While he was praying there, he heard Christ on the crucifix speak to him, "Francis, repair my church." Francis assumed this meant church with a small c, the crumbling building he was in. Soon, Francis started to preach. He was never a priest, though he was later ordained a deacon under his protest. Francis was not a reformer. He preached about returning to God and obedience to the church. Francis must have known about the decay in the church, but he always showed the church and its people his utmost respect. Francis' final years were filled with suffering as well as humiliation. Praying to share in Christ's passion, he had the vision, received the stigmata, the marks of the nails, and the lance wound that Christ suffered in his own body. My dear brothers and sisters, we are called to tend and work at the vineyard of the Lord. Are we willing to work at his vineyard, even if there are much more to do? Be rejected, abused, and even killed for the sake of the kingdom? Today, and even many centuries ago, there's a lot of prophets, leaders, and members of the church experienced rejection, abused, and even killed, like St. John of Arc, St. Thomas More, or Bishop Oscar Romero, and others. Or like St. Francis, who were called a madman for Christ. This is the price of following the Lord. So are we ready to take the risks? Are we willing to give all for Christ? Let us ask St. Francis of Assisi that we may love and serve all despite rejection and denunciation, and that we may build the church according to God's plan, that is, a community patterned in the heart of Jesus. Let this be our prayer. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for all the benefits which you have given us, for all the pains and insults which you have borne for us. O most merciful Redeemer, friend and brother, may we know you more dearly, love you more dearly, and follow you more nearly for your own sake. Amen.